it. Washington. Keeps it. Around left hand. He has a block. He's at the 10. Cuts it up. 5. He scores!
A top 15 clash in Atlanta.
Pass is caught! Touchdown!
Auburn is dominating this game.
Coverage begins Saturday at 11:30 a.m. on your home for Auburn football.
On your official Auburn football station, FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Tiger fans, it's time to talk football. The Auburn Tiger Radio Show with your host, Bo Meganson, starts now. To get in on the show, call 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And War Eagle Auburn fans, and welcome back to another year and another season of Auburn Tiger of the Auburn Tiger Radio program. Bo Meganson here with you, talking Tigers and only Tigers, as we do every fall. Joined by Antonio Coleman, former Auburn great defensive end, all-time sack leader for the Tigers. And as we start our 24th year together, Mobile, it's my pleasure to be joining or here with you again and talking football, and I appreciate the privilege and the honor that you grant me to come here with you, as we've been doing again for the last 24 years now. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but again, time passes fast when you're having fun. And Antonio Coleman, I know you've been out with the young bucks over at Williamson High School. Now, of course, you're the defensive coordinator at Williamson. Had a tough loss the other night to Alma Bryant, although they're a 7A school, and you guys are 5A, I believe, this year.
4A.
4A, down to 4A.
Yeah.
Had to play up to 7A.
Yeah.
And the score was what?
7-0. We lost in the last 2 minutes. My defense played an amazing game. You know, offensively, we had a great game too. And it's just amazing for those kids to go out and compete against a 7A school. And we have about 40 players on the roster. They played their hearts out. A lot of young guys, a young football team, but I'm excited about where we're going.
So you gave up 7 points to a 7A school. And what is your position coaching? What do you coach?
I'm the defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinator. Go figure that. You know, who could have guessed that? Well, congratulations on a great – I know you wanted to win, but obviously that's a very successful defensive effort that you only gave up a touchdown in the last part. It had a couple of your own touchdowns called back for penalty, I guess.
Right, right. We had about 2 or 3 touchdowns called back, you know, but that's part of the game. We just live in the moment, man, and, you know, after that, we go to the film and correct it, and we're ready for LaFleur Friday.
All right, 343-0106 is the number, 343-0106. If you'd like to join the conversation and talk Tigers, we're going to be obviously talking about the big game Saturday, probably the biggest game that I could think of. There's some others. I think who else is a – I know Alabama's playing – Louisville, and LSU, I think, is playing Miami.
Right.
A&M plays
Northwest.
Northwestern State. Okay, so that's not a big game. But I believe there's, I guess, Notre Dame and Michigan, I think, is this weekend too. But for the most part, you've got a top 10 Auburn, a top 10 Washington, with great quarterbacks coming back, great defenses coming back. This is the marquee game of the weekend. And I like the fact that we've got as strong a defense as we've ever had coming back, particularly in the front seven, AC, and as we've talked for years now, that's where the game's won and lost. You've got an experienced quarterback who was a record setting, but he was pretty close. He's only the second guy to throw for 3,000 yards at Auburn and come back. So, however, history says when Gus Malzahn has lots of time to prepare, you don't know what you're going to get. So, and I'm not going to be pessimistic, but I think back to the past few years when we've had big games early on, he has not performed well. Or in the bowl games, you know, they haven't performed well. I think maybe with Chip Lindsey on the offensive side, because defense, I'm not worried about. Coach Kevin Steele, who's, I know, one of your favorites, mm-hmm. You've spent time with Coach Steele. He's got those guys. And let's talk about that right now. Tell me about your impressions of the Auburn defense with that great front four coming back, three senior linebackers back, some good guys on the back end we'll talk about. Tell me about the Auburn defense and your impression.
Well, the first name that you mentioned is Kevin Steele. You know, I really look up to him and reach out for a lot of information. He's been down a couple times. You know, Roger McCrary's up there now.
Cornerback, freshman cornerback at Auburn, who's from Williamson.
Right. So he's up there, and My hat's off to Kevin Steele, you know, but the name that I always express is Nick Cole. You know, I love this kid. I love everything about his game. Deshaun Davis, which is another kid from down here, senior linebacker, senior leader. I'm just interested, man, and I'm really excited for this defense to see how these guys play, man. It's probably going to be one of the best defenses they had in a while. And I mean, even back when I played. Now.
Oh, I'm going back farther. When I was in school, we had Tracy Rocker, Ron Stallworth, Benji Rowland, Nate Hill, the late Nate Hill at tackle. Those guys were all actually in the same recruiting class. Ron Stallworth, Tracy Rocker, Nate Hill were all USA Today All-Americans on the defensive line. And then you got Andre Bruce, who was the first pick of the NFL draft. So you had some guys, but this the depth on this, and we'll talk about the depth on this defensive front. You've got, of course, Marlon Davidson at one strong side defensive end, who played with a hyperextended elbow almost all of last year and still was a beast. You got Derek Brown, who's a monster, as good as any inside defensive tackle in the conference, and if he's the best in the conference or one of the best in the SEC, it's the country. Dontavius Russell, fifth-year senior who's been solid, who's ready for a breakout year. And then you've got Nick Coe at 6'5", 280 pounds, playing buck, playing that rush defensive end that Jeff Holland was playing last year. If he can, and I've said this before, if he can play buck at 6'5", 280, somebody's going to get killed. I'm talking literally. They're going to have to be out there with the paddles and a stretcher for some guys, for a quarterback, because Nick Coe is going to hurt somebody, because that's how impressive he is.
I mean, physically, 6'5", 280, I don't think I've ever seen that before. But he's so athletic and agile that I really think he can do it. And I'm excited to see this kid play at the Buck. Man, that's a real big move.
And the difference with this class is, or this line, is that behind them, you've got, on the inside, you've got a senior, Andrew Williams, who's 6'4", about 290 pounds, who gave us some good snaps last year. You've got Tyrone Truesdell, who was very solid inside last year, who can give good snaps. You've got Alex Jackson, who's a redshirt freshman, who maybe is as athletic as any of them. He's still green, but he's 6'4", 6'5", about 285 pounds. You've got the junior college player, Deshaun Newkirk, who's coming in. He was hurt in the spring towards Achilles, but he's back practicing full speed. And he was a guy they were actually expecting to push Ty Truesdell for one of those spots and even move out to strong side defensive end. And then on top of that, you've got the true freshman, Connus Miller, who's going to push. So that's seven guys. Some of them can move outside, but then on the outside, it's strong side defensive end behind Marlon. They've moved Big Cat Bryant from over there, and then so now that Nick Coe has moved to the Buck, and then you've got T.D. Moultrie, who was really impressive last year as a true freshman behind Jeff Holland, have him at the weak side. So that's too deep with guys, not just bodies. I'm talking about guys who could play for probably any other SEC school. And that's where – and we haven't gotten to the back end back with the linebackers, but – when you've got that much talent up front, on the front, tell me from a defensive guy as a coach, as a player, what does that allow you to do and what does that give you the opportunity to do as a defense when you're attacking that offense?
Well, for one, you can tell those guys over there they're cohesive. All of the coaches, they're doing a great job recruiting. I mean, you're pulling in guys and you're reloading every year, which is what we talked about a year ago, 2 years ago, these guys reloading and having the depth. If someone does go down, someone can step in and we don't miss a beat. But having that much depth up front, it gives you a lot of room to rotate guys in, keep guys fresh. And, I mean, it really extends the game for us.
And when you look at those four, let's just say the first four, with Coe, Davidson, and inside with Russell and Brown, if you've got just five on four, somebody can get doubled. But you've got three guys, if the backs deploy, if you've got three guys that are going to have one-on-one opportunities with an offensive lineman, my money's on one of those guys. One of those three is going to win their battle, and we're going to be able to get pressure with four. And here in the last minute, is that something you feel that – am I overstating it, or is that something that you feel like we'll have a chance to really get pressure with four against anybody?
I really think we can get pressure with four. Maybe even three if someone gets double. The way these guys work out, the physicality that they play with, how big these guys are, how agile these guys are, I really think we can get pressure with four. And it'd be even an easier job for us to get pressure with three, being that these guys do have the physicality and the body type to get it done.
Well, this is an incredible front seven. Again, we'll talk about the linebackers when we get back. We'll talk about Washington as well with senior quarterback Jake Browning, and senior quarterbacks make a huge difference. And so we've got, and of course, we have our own experienced quarterback in Jared Stidham. Excuse me, I drew a blank on that. But what we're going to do first is take a break. And this is FM Talk 106.5, your Auburn Tiger radio program. Bo Megginson and Antonio Coleman here with you till the top of the hour, talking Tigers and only Tigers. And taking your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Back with more of your Auburn Tiger radio program right after this.
Mark your calendars. It's the 5th annual Rolling Tigers Booster Club Bash. Support Auburn University Wheelchair Basketball. November 14th from 6 till 9 p.m. at St. Dominic's Murphy Center. Enjoy great music, delicious food and drink catered by Bay Gourmet, and be entered for the $10,000 drawdown. Tickets are $100 per couple and are available at Rim Animal Clinic. A great time with great people supporting Auburn Wheelchair Basketball and a chance to win $10,000. Don't miss the annual Rolling Tigers Booster Club Bash. Call Rim Animal Clinic for your ticket today.
Steel, a company built on real power. Tools built for real people and dealers who deliver real service. Visit Robert Steel Power Equipment to see Steel's full line of lawn and garden products. Steel Fuel Powered Equipment is the number one selling brand in America. Give your yard cleanup a time-saving upgrade with a hard-working Steel blower. Right now, the BG50 handheld blower is just $139.95. Or try Steel's new Lightning battery system that delivers the power to do more on a single charge. Right now, get the new BGA45 battery-powered blower, only $129.95. Robert Steel Power Equipment is a full-line sales and service dealer for steel products and warranty repair. They employ factory-certified service technicians qualified for every machine Steel makes and more. Why keep rebuying disposable big-box equipment? Upgrade to real quality and long-lasting performance with Steel. Visit Robert Steel Power Equipment, Highway 59 South, right at the split by the Catholic Church, or online at robertsteelpower.com. Real people, Steel people.
The enemy is everywhere. The fight is never ending, and yet you must continue the battle against dirt. Now there's an ally in the war to have a clean home. Sunday afternoon at 3, FM Talk 106.5 will be Talking Dirty with David Lord. Brought to you by A&A Vacuum Mart. You'll get all the ammo you need to win the fight against dirt. Information on vacuum cleaner systems, tips and tools to make your job easier. Join us for Talking Dirty with David Lord, Sunday afternoon at 3 on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Megginson.
And welcome back, Auburn fans, to your Auburn Tiger radio program. Bo Megginson and Antonio Coleman here with you till the top of the hour, talking Tigers and only Tigers, and taking your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Antonio, we were talking about the defense, the Auburn defense, before the break, and the depth on the defensive front. Now, what that does, of course, is, and you played in that outside rush end that's kind of a hybrid outside linebacker. When you've got those guys up front, it frees up those linebackers to play downhill. And we've got three experienced guys, and Darrell Williams, a senior, Deshaun Davis from right here at Pritchard High School in Vigor, Pritchard, Alabama, Vigor High School, excuse me, and Montrevis Atkinson, another senior. And behind then, you've got some young guys who've got some experience. K.J. Britt, who is a redshirt freshman, but played a little bit last year before he got hurt. And then Chandler Wooten, who is a sophomore who played a good bit last year. And then a freshman who's worked his way into the two deep, Jacoby McClain, who is, I won't say he's the little ball of hate. For those who remember Trey Blackmon, who was called the little ball of hate because he just arrived so angry every time he played. But that's kind of, he's a smaller guy, about 205, but and still about 6'1", but just plays with explosiveness. And so, but you've got three experienced guys: Darrell Williams, Deshaun Davis, Montrevious Atkinson. Experienced guys who've seen there, been in the wars, and you've got those guys behind that defensive line. Tell me what you expect their production to be like.
That front seven will make it easier on the back end, and that's truly how I feel, because all of these guys are experienced. Deshaun Davis, he's the captain of that ship, and he's been in this defense, and he know what Kevin Steele expects. And I think these guys are going to be ready to go Saturday, but that front seven will control and will have the heart to that Auburn defense.
And at linebackers, do you want to substitute there, or with being able to get pressure with four like we think we'll be able to, do you go with more of a nickel look? Do you take out, say, Montrevious and put in maybe a bigger safety? Or do are these guys good enough and experienced enough, you think, where after 4 years they know and they can play all three downs?
I really think Coach Russell, with the strength and conditioning coach, which is the strength and conditioning coach, I really think he does a great job. So athletically, I don't think you really have to go a nickel package. These guys, they really can sit in the whole game. And I really think up front, like I said, the front seven before, that is going to be the controller of the game.
Well, in the secondary, you've got Jamal Dean, who hurt his thumb but should be okay to play. Starting at one corner, you got Javaris Davis at the other corner. You've got Jeremiah Denson at one safety and Daniel Thomas at the other safety. Some younger guys pushing those guys on the back end. Jamie and Sherwood and Smoke Monday are both true freshmen who are in the two deep in the secondary. And then you've got Jordan Peters is playing nickel along with Javaris Davis. Noah Igbinogheni, who has moved over from wide receiver to play corner. And right in there as well is young man from Williamson High School, Roger McCrary. Tell me what Roger's – I know you've been keeping in touch with Roger and how things are going. Tell me what Roger's telling you about that secondary. We're missing some guys. I mean, Carlton Davis is an NFL corner. And you're missing him, and you can't – just snap your fingers and replace that, although Jamel Dean's going to be an NFL corner, I think, as well. You're going to miss Trey Matthews. Steven Roberts, experienced four-year guy, solid guy. Got some pieces to replace, but you've got some guys back there who can play. Tell me what you're hearing from Roger.
Well, Roger, he's excited to even be a part of the Auburn family, you know, and he know when he went up that if he worked hard, he would have an opportunity, even if it's just special teams. So, like I told him, it was going to be a learning curve for him because he played so many positions for us at Williamson. He played wide receiver, running back, linebacker. He was the kicker. He did a lot. And he wasn't able to focus on just one position. But athletically, he can play any position on the field. And the heart that he has and the physicality that he comes with, it's just a different type of player. And I talked with him, and one thing that the coaches like is that he's fast. He's lightning fast. And you won't miss a physical spec on this kid. He's coming downhill, and he's going to be physical, and he's going to hit you. So he's just excited to be a part of that program and excited to hopefully get out, you know, and play some football this year.
What's he seeing with some of those younger guys in the back end? Do they feel like – because they're playing, again, in practice against some pretty good guys. Nate Craig Myers, I think, is coming back. We both agree. Hopefully gets more chances and opportunities. He's got real ability. You've got Darius Slayton, who was the led lesson per catches, and yards per catch, rather. And you've got Ryan, our leading wide receiver from last year who had such a great year. Ryan, again, I'm drawing a lot of blanks here, which is Ryan Davis. Golly, I should be able to do this without having to look at my chart. But Ryan Davis, who broke the Auburn record last year for most receptions in a season. Those are guys who can play, and if we can really hold up in coverage and practice against those guys, we're going to be able to hold up against most guys. What's Roger telling you about their ability to hold up against the Auburn receivers in practice?
Well, he called me and said, Coach, you know, it's a learning process. You know, Seth Williams, which is another great receiver.
Freshman. True freshman, yeah. Seth Williams.
Shedrick Jackson. You know, he mentioned all of those guys, Ryan Davis. But he also told me he's learning a lot from those guys. You know, and the pace has picked up. The game has picked up. His mental aspect of playing corner has picked up, and he's learned a lot from those guys. So if you can go out and do that and compete and get better every day with some of the best wide receivers, you know, in the country, then you're going to be a good player.
Well, you've got some guys with some experience, of course. Daniel Thomas has been around for a couple of years, and so has Javaris Davis, and Jamel Dean was a starter last year. So there are some guys on the defensive side in the secondary there who've got some experience, who've played a good bit. And, of course, Jordan Peters played a little bit last year as a freshman. And Jeremiah Denson, excuse me. Again, I got to get back into mid-season form here.
Right.
But Jeremiah Denson, who had a horrible injury a couple of years ago, is back and has got 2 years of experience as well. So you've got some guys who've played. But to your point, the play of that defensive front is going to make them so much better. And we've got some callers on the line, so let's go to those folks. Robert, on line one. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
War damn eagle, Bo.
War eagle.
Yeah, it's been a good season last year. My wife, you know, Opal, she's an Alabama fan. After that Georgia game, I had to get her a Crimson Tide gold tooth. But anyhow, I was just hoping we're going to do something better this year than what we did last year. I'm worried about our offensive line, and I'm worried about our secondary. But I'm hoping our defense can get to them because of that inexperienced secondary. But I'm sure hoping our offensive line don't let Stidham down and he's running for his life like he was last time against Clemson.
Well, I tell you, I agree with you. And we've got three guys with starting experience, with Mike Horton, who was one of the starting guards last year. Markell Harrell was a starting guard last year. And then Prince Tegawanigo, who started about five games. Darius James. Yep, and then Darius James came in and started, but then Tega played most of the game against Georgia and Alabama, and I think we would all agree that the Georgia and Alabama games at home were pretty good offensive displays. So we've got three guys with some experience. The real X factor is going to be Caleb Kim at center.
Center, there you go.
And so if we can get some good production from him, Jack Driscoll at left tackle is a graduate transfer from Massachusetts, and he's an experienced guy, a smart guy who played very well last year when Massachusetts played against some D1 schools, played against Tennessee and played very well. He'll be in good shape again, but you've got a senior quarterback, an experienced quarterback, of course. Jared Stidham is not a senior, he's a junior, but if he has a good year, we can all expect him to go pro after this year. But with a quarterback that can make adjustments to the line, that can get in the right play and help his offensive line get in the right position and get rid of the ball quickly, that's the best thing for an offensive line. And then the running back. Can we get production from the running back position? And I just spit on the ground every time I think about the opportunity we wasted with, or that Cameron Petway wasted. And let's go back to the phones real quickly. Go ahead. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
Hey, Bo and AC, War Eagle. I'm ready for football season. I want to ask y'all a question. I heard the other day that we will be wearing white jerseys, yet we're the home team. And, you know, we've lost two games in a row in that stadium. So what is your feeling? What are y'all's thoughts? Can you confirm to me, are we wearing white this Saturday? And do you think we'll have the mental edge? You know, when everything is equal, whoever wants it the most is going to win. So what's your feelings on the mental aspect of this game coming up?
Well, I tell you, and we're going to answer your question, and we've got to go to a break here very shortly, Blue. But my thoughts are, and we are wearing white. My understanding is we are wearing white. But after the way the season ended last year, Antonio, here in the last few seconds, we'll talk more about this on the other side. Do you think that the mental attitude will be to make up for the way the season ended kind of flatly last year?
I truly think so. And, you know, that's just the life of it, you know.
Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. And also, we're expecting to have Jeffrey Lee from AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate, joining us as well. We'll take your calls at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
We'll expect isolated thunderstorms tonight. Low temperatures will be in the mid-70s. For Thursday, partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s. And the outlook for Friday, scattered thunderstorms with afternoon readings in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
New details tonight about a retired Mobile police sergeant arrested on dozens of forgery charges. Hello, everyone. I'm Mel Showers, News 5 for FM Talk 106.5. Retired officer Michael Barber is accused of writing fake tickets in order to collect a phony overtime pay. Barber is facing 46 charges. A grand jury indicted him on those charges on Friday. A man wanted for a shooting in Baldwin County is now in custody. We've confirmed 31-year-old Kerry Bracey was arrested in the Birmingham area. He had been on the run since a shooting Monday night in Summerdale. Investigators say the shooting happened during a drug deal. A weekend crime involving a sea turtle nest in Gulf Shores has been solved. Now, four suspects accused of disturbing a recently hatched nest of loggerhead turtles could face fines and jail time. All of the suspects were visiting here from Georgia. I'm Mel Showers, News 5.
Hey, Tiger fans. For fun or business, JP Services will take care of any screen printing, embroidery, or promotional products needed for your next event. Visit MyTailgateStoreOnline.com. Whether you're looking for specific promotional items or just browsing for ideas to motivate your staff, MyTailgateStoreOnline.com is your website. No order is too big or too small, and turnaround is quick. Personalized gifts are a great way to thank a customer. Visit MyTailgateStoreOnline.com or call Jan at JP Services, 605-8573. That's 605-8573.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
Call today.
Do you enjoy being outside in the Deep South in August doing inventory on trees? Or do you have an expertise on mahogany plantations in Costa Rica or Fiji? We talk the business of land management with the president of Larson McGowan Forest Management Company, Barrett McCall, on the next episode of What's Working with Cam Marston. Learn more Wednesday at 6 p.m. on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back to our bottom of the hour segment here on the Auburn Tiger Radio program. Bo Meganson, Antonio Coleman here with you. And in the previous segment, a caller asked about mental edge. And Antonio, I think you had a couple of years where the bowl game didn't go the way y'all wanted to, and then trying to come out of the gate. One year we played a pretty good Kansas State team, probably a little not quite as good as this Washington team we're going to play. But I know that was a game where you guys wanted to make a statement. What was the mental attitude? The question was, will Auburn have a mental edge because of the way the season ended? What was your experience?
I mean, losing that last game, losing the bowl game, it always has a sour taste in your mouth, and you definitely want to come out and start the season strong. You know, and what better way to start it on national TV against a highly ranked opponent, good quarterback with a good running back and some good players, and probably one of the better coaches in college football. So I think mentally these guys will be locked in, and me as a player, it'll be even fun just to hit someone in a different color jersey. You know, that's the mindset I think these guys have. They're tired of banging up on each other. They're tired of seeing each other every day at practice, scrimmaging, and doing all this. So I think they're just going to be excited to hit another player in a different color jersey. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we do pull a game out in Atlanta.
And as strong as our defense is and playing that defense, that gives you the opportunity, I would think, to settle in a little bit, particularly on the offensive side.
I mean, you think about it, it's pretty much a veteran defense. It's a veteran-led group. Like I said before, we're probably one of the best defensive minds in the game. So I'm definitely excited to see how these guys play and how Coach Steele calls the game. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
And, of course, the broadcast on Saturday of the Auburn-Washington game from Atlanta will start at 11:30 here on FM Talk 106.5. WAVH, and you can listen to Rod Bramlett and the entire Auburn Network bring that to you on Saturday. Offensively, and we're going to bring in Jeffrey Lee here just shortly. We were talking about quarterback. We know Jarrett Stidham. Running back is the question mark. The offensive line, we went through that. But we've got the talent on the outside. You've got Darius Slayton. You've got Nate Craig Myers. You've got Ryan Davis, all of whom can play. Seth Williams, a true freshman, who's making plays. You've got Shedrick Jackson and Sal Canella, of all people, who seems to be doing some things as well. So with those guys, plus Anthony Schwartz, the fastest high school athlete in the country last year, and Sean Shivers, the second fastest high school athlete in the country, there's some weapons on the offensive side, AC, that really are going to give us some opportunities to make plays.
Well, like you said before, the question mark is going to be running back. You know, I know they have Jartavius Whitlow, which has made some great strides that I'm hearing, and it's actually going to play a lot for us, you know, and that definitely would, those group of wide receivers, that definitely would take a lot of pressure off the running back if we can get the ball down the field and stretch the field. You know, that's going to be real big for us, stretching the field, to take a little bit of pressure off those guys in the backfield.
And as I mentioned, we're going to bring in our guest, Jeffrey Lee from AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate. Jeffrey, how you doing this evening?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for joining us again and being part of our program again this year, Jeffrey. You were listening to AC talk about the receivers. A lot of players, a lot of skill coming back. We, of course, Auburn lost some starters on the line. Have three guys with starting experience in Markell Harrell and Mike Horton and Prince Tegawanago. But Caleb Kim is new at center, and Jack Driscoll new at tackle. So it all starts there. But with a seasoned, experienced NFL caliber quarterback and some good skill guys, I think there's reason to be optimistic on that side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you consider you've got Chip Lindsey back, you've got Jarrett Stidham going through the offense, knows the offense a lot better now, and those skill guys. You know, if the guys up front can figure out a way to mesh early, this offense has got, you know, at least on paper, we haven't seen them obviously yet, but at least on paper, you've got everything you want in a in a top tier offense.
You know, and I was going to take a little of Antonio's thunder here, but you guys on your website had a couple of one particular nice article on Nick Coe, and it still boggles my mind that a 6'5", 280-pound guy is playing buck. And Antonio made the point that with Marlon Davidson, Dontavius Russell, Derek Brown, and Nick Coe on the field at the same time in third and long, somebody's not going to be doubled. And somebody with three one-on-one, with those guys and three guys having one-on-one matchups with an offensive line, somebody's going to win one of those matchups.
When you get the kind of quarterback pressure that you're going to get from just rushing four, I mean, you're looking at those four guys. Those are NFL guys, maybe a couple of first-rounders in there. And so when you're able to drop seven and rush four and still get pressure to the quarterback, which I'm assuming is going to happen, you know, that's going to be fun to see. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, this defense going back to the 80s, you know, back under Pat Dye when Auburn was, you know, feared on defense and wanted to get back that way. And we saw a little of it last week. I mean, we saw a lot of it last year. And I love Kevin Steele. I think he's wonderful. I think AC said, you know, he's one of the better minds in the game, and I truly believe that. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun just to watch this team, because you're going to have you know, Stidham in the offense and Chip Lindsey back with those wide receivers you were talking about, figure out the offensive line. And then on defense, you've got, you know, these guys lot of first-rounder NFL talent on defense, and a lot of them returning from last year's unit. So from top to bottom, you know, on both sides of the ball, a lot of reasons to be excited, you know, if you're an Auburn fan.
Jeffrey, how you doing?
Doing well, AC. How are you doing, buddy?
I can't complain. One question, what do you think the defensive plan for Jake Browning is going to be? How do you think that's going to pan out, and if Kevin Steele is really, really worried about him? And how's the defense you think going to perform?
Well, you know, one thing that Browning, and this is just from my prep, just reading up on this, one thing he didn't do well last year was throw under pressure. When he had time to throw, he picked people apart, but he didn't do well when he didn't have a lot of time to throw. So I think Kevin Steele, if he can get pressure with those four guys, he's going to leave it there and drop seven back into his lanes. If not, he's going to bring. Because if Auburn's got speed on defense, too. You know, you've got these big guys up front, but you've also got these linebackers that can run, stars that can run. So, you know, I think he's going to try to put pressure on Browning early. I think he's going to try to make some plays and as a result, make him make some mistakes, see if he can get some turnovers early. And in a game that's probably going to be pretty close, you know, turnovers could definitely end up being the end result.
And as has been the past few years, a key element of the Auburn attack or the Auburn plan, Jeffrey, has been Daniel Carlson. And, of course, he's not around anymore. But version 2.0 is. And that's, of course, his brother, Anders Carlson, who I watched kick a 60-yard field goal in the scrimmage in the spring. How's he looking, and what's the punter situation on the special team side? Because I know we brought in Aaron Supos, who is a Australian rules football player, but apparently he hasn't come in and just taken hold of that punting job.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of Gus giving this guy, you know, a little bit of time to get his feet wet. You know, he just came to the States at the first of the month. So he has been in the United States a little over 3 months, I mean 3 weeks. So just to throw him out there and expect him to, you know, to just jump in there and go. I can see where Gus is just trying to, you know, ease the guy in because he can boom it. And, you know, you talked about Anders. I was more impressed with Anders back, or Anders, however you want to say it, back in the spring, you know, and watching him kick field goals. It was almost like Daniel Hu. I mean, he was that good. He was that impressive to me. And you're talking about a true freshman or a redshirt freshman back. It was the second year, I guess. But so I don't think there's going to be any drop off at the kick, the field goal. I'm really impressed with Anders. I think he'll do well. I think he'll push Daniel's records. And back to the punter, I think Aiden's going to, you know, find his place. But I think before it's all over with, Sipos will be you know, booming 55 and 60 yarders before the year's over.
And it seems like the recruiting process gets earlier and earlier every year. I think Auburn's already up to about 15 or 16 commitments, are we not, for the February or the December early signing period?
16 commitments right now, ranked number 9 in the country. And you know, I think all but 9 of the 16 are 4 or 5-star recruits. You talked about getting earlier and earlier. Yeah, Auburn's already, you know, a fourth of the way through their 2020 class. And so, you know, it's definitely getting earlier and earlier. And it's working out for Auburn right now. Got 2/3 of the class committed, and the season hasn't even begun.
Jeffrey, you the man. You know that, right?
That's what my little boy tells me.
Okay. One of the guys, you know, that I've worked with a couple times down here, kid from McGill, was it Darius? Darius Cox? Yeah, what is Auburn's chances with Darius? You know, I worked with him, and we worked out a couple of times, and he loves to come work out with me.
Yeah, I met him twice this summer. Big, good-looking kid, 6'4", 280 maybe. You know, he's committed to Tennessee, but Kevin Steele went down in the spring, saw him, really liked him, really liked his size, really liked how he looked, really liked how he played. Ladarius came up to Auburn for the Big Cat weekend in June. Auburn offered him a scholarship, and it really caught his attention enough for him to come back in July for the barbecue. And I talked to Ladarius after he left the barbecue, and you know, honestly, AC, I think it's only a matter of time before he switches his commitment from Tennessee to Auburn. But he still has yet to do that. So So Tennessee's definitely doing what they can to hold on, but I think in the end, Auburn's going to be able to flip his, or change his mind.
Well, and he's had a great game against Spanish Fort this past week where he was double and triple teamed by some good players. And here in the last 30 seconds, Jeffrey, talk a little bit. I know that there's a lot of exciting stuff around basketball, and you're covering basketball. But talk about that real quickly, and also how people can get to your information on AuburnSports.com.
Yeah, AuburnSports.com, Auburn.Rivals.com. Definitely got a lot of stuff coming out. I'm trying to keep up with this basketball recruiting. They've got three top 100 players coming in for official visits for the LSU game in September. Bruce Pearl and them, Midnight Madness. There's some speculation there about playing at Toomer's Corner at midnight in October. A lot of news, a lot of things still to be confirmed. So get over and check it out.
All right, Jeffrey, we certainly appreciate you. Glad to have you back, and look forward to having you back with us again next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks so much. Jeffrey Lee from AuburnSports.com. Appreciate him joining us and giving his perspective from there on the plains. The number is 343-0106, 343-0106. If you'd like to join in the conversation, Bo Meganson and Antonio Coleman here with you till the top of the hour, talking Tigers and only Tigers. And be back with you right after this message.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only one part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture, so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact me, Carla Stewart, your Spanish Fort Edward Jones Financial Advisor.
Or me, Keith Woodham, your West Mobile Edward Jones Financial Advisor.
War Eagle, everybody!
Edward Jones, member SIPC. Papa Murphy's understands your busy schedule. Control dinner on your schedule. No waiting for a greasy box of delivery pizza. Turn knob, get pizza. Choose a signature recipe or get creative with fresh meats and veggies. Pile on the pepperoni and cheese or go flat out gourmet. Add Papa Murphy's cookie dough and make it a meal. 7 locations, Airport Boulevard, Hillcrest at Cottage Hill, Daphne, Foley, Sims, and Government at Azalea. Fresh, easy, delicious. Papa Murphy's.
FM Talk 106.5. This is your kind of station. Your views, your opinions, your money. We're all about what's important to you. Local, informative, with your attitude. And we believe this is a great environment to advertise your business. We have thousands of listeners who should be your customers. If you're interested in advertising to a large group of 35 to 64-year-old Gulf Coast residents who share your ideas, we're the perfect vehicle for you. Hi, this is Bill Roth, Director of Sales for FM Talk 106.5, and I'd welcome the opportunity to speak with you about increasing your business. Please give me a call at 251-344-1065, extension 15, and we'll discuss how FM Talk 106.5 can help your business win big. That number again is 251-344-1065, extension 15. We're talk radio on crystal clear digital FM stereo at 106.5, and we can help your business succeed.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back for our final segment of this week's Auburn Tiger Radio program. Bo Meganson and Antonio Coleman here with you, as we will be every week, talking Tigers and only Tigers. Taking your calls at 343-0106. And Antonio, we haven't really talked a whole lot about Washington. A lot of good things to talk about regarding Auburn. But you've got a senior quarterback in Jake Browning who's thrown for over 9,000 yards in his first three years, a solid guy. Senior quarterbacks are always tough. You've got a returning running back in Miles Gaskin who has run for over 1,300 yards all three of his seasons, previous seasons. So they've got some guys. They lost couple of their receivers, but they've got a couple of guys back as well. So they're a legit top 10 team. And Auburn has got to come out and bring their A game and be the team that played Georgia and Alabama at the end of the year? Because if they don't, you can't bring your B game against a Penn State or a Washington or Ohio State or a Clemson and expect to come away with a win. And that's what we face this weekend.
Well, they have an experienced quarterback in Jake Browning. You know, we have an experienced quarterback. They have an experienced quarterback. They have experienced running back. We're a little bit up in the air with our running back position. So, defensively, we have to step up and we have to take up the slack. And I think the front seven can really do a great job and take a lot of pressure off of the offensive side of the ball. And my philosophy is the more stops the defense get, the more opportunities you give our offense, you know, they're going to pop it and they're going to make some plays and put some points up.
Well, Washington last year had a monster nose guard in Vita Vea, who was a first-round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was a fantastic player. That's going to be a big hole for them to fill defensively. Lost their two inside backers. Got some guys there, but again, brand new starters at inside backer. Got some outside guys back, but they've got some holes there. And if you're going to match up defensive fronts or front sevens, I'll take ours. Now, their secondary is basically experienced, same group from last year. They probably would have the edge on us on secondary. However, it's football, as we say every year, we've been saying the past few years, it's one at the line of scrimmage. And that's where I think we have the advantage, really on both sides of the line.
If we can control the line of scrimmage, specifically on offense, we win the game. You know, because I know we're going to try to run the ball. And if you can run the ball, it opens the door for the pass game to stretch it downfield. So not so worried about defensively us winning the line of scrimmage, because with the depth we have and the talent that we have and all of these guys coming back in the front seven, it shouldn't be a problem for us. But offensively, if we can win the position battles up front, we will win the ball game.
If you think about how our offense finished up at the end of the year versus first of the year, first part of the year, everything, they were looking downfield with nothing short. At the end of the year, we were throwing, of course, the RPOs off the re-look, which was the run-pass options. Ryan Davis was making a living off those little 5 and 6 yards hitches that he was turning into 8 and 9 yard gains with run after the catch. And that opened up things down the field with Darius Slayton having big – I think he averaged over 26 yards a catch because he was going down the field. So with those guys there, if we continue to have those options, plus someone like Sean Shivers, who's just a blur – and is short and compact. He's not small like Ontario McCaleb, who's the guy we kind of think of. He's more of a Corey Grant. Was Corey was thick. Corey wasn't tall, but he was thick and fast. And that's kind of the way Sean Shivers is. You get him stretching the defense horizontally, and the outside guys like Darius Slayton stretching it vertically. That's going to give you seams in the middle and wait, maybe some running lanes and some opportunities for Coach Chip Lindsey to get 5 and 6 yards with a new running back and a new offensive line in the running game. So lots of tools in toys in the toolbox this year.
I think you really have to remember that name, Sean Shivers. Shivers. Either or, Shivers, Shivers. But this kid is really special. If you don't know who we're talking about, YouTube him, pull up his high school videos. This is not your typical 5'5", 5'4" guy that just – it's fast and a hitch. No, he will run you over too. And I really like this kid. I like his physicality. But as an offense as a whole, I think the whole offense is settled in. You know, Chip Lindsey came in. We were shaky at the beginning. But once we got settled in and he got settled into his offense and called what he wanted to call, we were very successful.
And for everyone who's listening, Sean Shivers or Shivers, we'll figure that out, how he pronounces his last name. True freshman running back from South Florida. Led his team to the state championship game. I think they lost the state championship game. But he's only about 5'6", but he's about 175 pounds, which 175 pounds on a 5'6 frame is pretty thick. You can think about Darren Sproles, who played in the NFL for many years at 5'6", 5'7". But that's pretty thick. And football, as you've taught me, is a game of leverage. That's why a 6'2 guy can rush the passer, because you can get up underneath those pads and rip that tackle. And a small guy like that who's got leverage and hits the linebackers, if he's got the strength, he can actually run over some guys.
When you have offensive linemen that are 6'4", 6'5", who better to hide behind? I mean, you got to think about it now. I've seen it in high school football with UMS's running back. He's about 5'4", 5'5", and he hides behind those guys. But when it's daylight, he hits it, and you can't catch him. So, I mean, it's going to be amazing. I'm just excited to see this kid play.
It's going to be fun. And, again, we just briefly touched on it, but the kicking game has been determines close games. And we've had the benefit of great kicker the past few years. Our coverage teams haven't been real solid. I know you're going to be watching particularly on coverage teams because that's one area I think Roger McCreary from here in Williamson is going to be able to play a lot. Do you feel like having him and some of those young guys, particularly guys who can get down the field, is going to make those coverage teams better?
Oh, most definitely. And I told him it's all about earning your stripes. And it starts on special teams. You know, if you can produce on special teams, that gives the coaches opportunity to trust to put you on the defensive side of the ball. And like we spoke about Anders, I'm real excited about him. Daniel Wynn's a starting field goal kicker for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, just booming kicks during the preseason. And we get his little brother that comes in and may be a spitting image of him, if not better.
Well, a kid's 6'5 and 210, and I mean, he looks just like him, and big and long. I think Daniel may be closer to 6'6, but Anders is a big kid with a big leg. And, you know, if he can just put kickoffs in the end zone and just take that piece out of the game, I'll be grateful. But as far as Saturday goes, I think if we're going to talk predictions, AC, I think that with a senior quarterback and some of the skill guys they have, Washington may move the ball a little bit between the 20s. But if they can't put a hat on a hat and mash the ball and inside the 20s and run it and really be able to own the line of scrimmage, I don't think they'll get touchdowns. I expect them to – they may get a touchdown, maybe two, but probably more field goals. So I think that maybe a one touchdown and four field goals or three field goals. Again, their kicker's shaky. They got a brand-new kicker. And so we don't know what that guy's got. But maybe 19 points. And I think Auburn – I think we'll score at least 25, particularly later in the game. But I see Auburn winning by maybe 7 or 8.
I say 28-16, and that's being generous, but you also have to look at the physicality in the SEC. Not saying that this other conference is – they're not physical, but SEC, it's a different mindset. It's a different thought process when you're going into a game like this.
No, I agree, and you've got – they've got good athletes, but it's a different ball game, and you watch particularly in the bowl games, the SEC, and the level, just viciousness, for lack of a better term, is just different. So, but I'm excited. Who do the Williamson Lions have next week?
LaFleur. We play LaFleur Friday at Ladd Stadium.
All right. Well, good luck to the Lions. And don't forget, Tiger Talk is tomorrow night, Thursday night at 6 p.m. Right here on FM Talk 106.5. And so you'll be able to listen to Rod Bramlett and the Auburn Network every Thursday night, 6 p.m. going forward for Tiger Talk the rest of the season. And we'll be back here. Antonio and I will be back talking about the Washington game and next week's contest. Again, tune in here at 11:30 for the Auburn Network radio broadcast. You'll be starting with Rod, Paul Ellen, the entire Auburn Network team, again here on FM Talk 106.5, starting at 11:30. Till next week, this is Bo Megginson and Antonio Coleman. War Eagle, everybody.
War
we'll
Eagle.
See you then.